Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we simulcast the program on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas, which gives us great reach covering all of southeastern Arizona, along with central and southern Arizona. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear our program on any one of three websites. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, that's Tucson's online news service, and then tucsoncitizen.com, which calls itself The Voice of Tucson. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Dr. Victoria Mazes, head of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine, will get things going for us. We're always delighted to see Dr. Mazes. She is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. Then, at about 30 minutes past the hour, we will talk with Tucson Water Company's Water Cop. This is a man on the move looking for folks who waste water. Have you witnessed a business or a property owner wasting water, you know, where the water's just kind of running out into the street? If so, the Water Cop would love to hear from you. Then we'll close out the show with the latest on proposed tax breaks for the movie industry. It's an issue being hotly debated at the state capitol. So we have a full agenda for you, as usual, on the Buckmaster Show. And we always encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. You can email your questions at my website, buckmastershow.com, or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. So we begin now with Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. That's the program started by Dr. Andrew Weil. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family and community medicine, and public health at the University of Arizona. She is an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide, travels all over the world, speaking to groups about integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. She is the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Dr. Mazes, always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about probiotics, and I think they're called prebiotics.
Well, prebiotics and probiotics are actually slightly different things.
Oh, so they do they have some kind of a symbiotic relationship?
Yes, they certainly can. So when we think about our intestines and what exists in our intestines, a subject that maybe not all your listeners want to think that much about.
Oh, they want to hear about it, Dr. Mazes, right during the noon hour. This is actually, it's a perfect time to be talking about it because we're talking really about good digestion.
Well, yes, that is absolutely a significant part. So probiotics are microorganisms that have beneficial properties. And essentially, our intestines are full of bacteria. In fact, most people don't know this, but there's 10 times as many bacterial cells as human cells in a human being.
Wow.
We're more bacteria than we are human.
We have a lot of bacteria.
Yes, we do. And we're sort of germ-phobic in our culture. So we tend to think of bacteria as bad, but
well,
it turns out...
Yeah, I mean, you would think this is bad news, this kind of these germs all over your body and in your body.
Yes.
But I guess if you look at someone's skin, they've got...
Absolutely. The skin is covered with bacteria as well. But especially in the intestine, in the gut, these bacteria are absolutely necessary for good health. They're necessary for digestion. We have a symbiotic relationship with these bacteria. But sometimes different things can throw the environment, the ecology of the bacteria in the gut off. And the most common thing that does this is antibiotics. You know, think of those words, probiotics, antibiotics. With an antibiotic.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, knock on wood, if there's any wood to knock on here in the studio, but it's been a couple of years since I had to take an antibiotic. I think it was after I had a bug bite. But I'm telling you, I was running to the washroom after about the third day of taking these, because I guess it was pretty much like taking everything out.
Well, exactly. An antibiotic, especially the broader spectrum antibiotics, are going to not be specific and only take care of the cause of the infection that you've been treated, but they're actually going to reduce the healthy bacteria in the intestine. And that's one of the reasons why we do recommend that if you have to take antibiotics for an infection, you should take a probiotic simultaneously and continue that probiotic for a week or 2 weeks beyond the time when you finish the antibiotic, because it helps restore some of the natural, the healthy, the normal gut flora, the bacteria that are in the gut.
If you're taking a probiotic, we'd love to hear from you right now on the Buckmaster Show at 790-2040. Tell us about your experience with probiotics. I take one before breakfast and before dinner because I do believe, Dr. Mazes, that it helps kind of the digestive process.
Well, it certainly can. And in fact, there's a lot of research to support the use of probiotics in people who have bowel diseases, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's, but even irritable bowel syndrome.
Which is one of the most common causes in this country for people missing work. IBS, irritable bowel syndrome.
Yes, so probiotics can be helpful there. And there's actually just an expanding body of research that's looking at it, especially in those bowel disorders. But it's in some other very intriguing places as well. For example, if you are born by cesarean section, and you're essentially, you know, taken out of your mom's abdomen as opposed to going through the birth canal, you will be colonized by different bacteria. So when you're in the uterus, that's a sterile environment. But when you're born normally through the vaginal birth canal, you become colonized with the bacteria that are present in that area. When you're born by cesarean section, you're colonized by skin bacteria. And it turns out that babies who are born by cesarean section have more allergies, eczema, and asthma. And actually, one of the strategies we have at this point is if a baby is born by cesarean section, to consider giving the mom, if she's nursing, probiotics, or giving the probiotics directly to the baby if the baby is being bottle fed.
Boy, I had not heard that before about the differences that would be associated with the bacteria by cesarean and the traditional method. And cesarean, correct me here, but isn't it incredibly popular?
It is very common, becoming more common in the United States. And I think people, of course, sometimes it's an emergency and you have to manage the birth expeditiously, and a cesarean section is life-saving to the baby and or the mother. So this is not an anti-cesarean section, but sometimes they're done for less good reasons, shall we say. And for example, in some countries like Brazil, up to 80% of babies are being born by cesarean section. So I think people have underestimated the importance, actually, of being colonized by the what I would call the normal bacteria that are in a system. And what that does then is it sets the baby up, as I said, for allergies. But there's even more colic in those babies. And we worry about more autoimmune disease. So potentially a lifelong difference because once that ecosystem is set up, it's not necessarily all that malleable to change.
And how do you find a – this is really important. You can't – all probiotics, Dr. Mazes, are not created equal.
Well, that's true. And actually, that's an area where there's still a lot of, I would say, question and uncertainty. So we don't know for sure in all conditions which is the best probiotic. So I'm going to give you some, you know, names that are very difficult to remember. But there's Bifidobacterium, there's Lactobacilli, there's E. coli, there's Saccharomyces boulardii. I mean, there's all of these different complicated long names. You have to go to medical school to learn how to pronounce
them. Yeah, that's I try to learn that and pronounce it. It'd be enough for a medical degree, right?
So, but they go by, obviously, branded names in the stores. And so some of the ones that have been researched, and I always like to point to some of the products that have been researched, include Culturelle. That's widely available.
Yeah,
it's
I've
been
seen
well
that one.
Studied. It's Lactobacillus GG. There's Dan Active, which is widely available. That's another Lactobacillus, Lactobacillus casei. There's Align, which is widely available. That's a Bifidobacterium infantis. There's Florastor, which is a Saccharomyces. Now, that's very interesting because that's actually not a bacteria. It's a yeast. And so if you're on an antibiotic and you're worried it's going to inactivate the probiotic, well, you could decide to use a Saccharomyces, which is a yeast, which isn't affected by the antibiotic. There's a VSL number 3, which is a mixed product that has a number of strains of lactobacilli, of bifidobacter, and also streptococcus. So these are all healthy bacteria that have been designed in different products, but I wouldn't say that the word is done, that the research is done yet to know for sure which bacteria for which condition.
Do you have to refrigerate these products?
Not all of them. Okay. So that makes it easier. For example, when I travel in countries that have diarrheal illnesses, I always take Culturelle. That's in little packets. You don't have to refrigerate it. It's a very easy probiotic to travel with. And it can even help, for example, when I was in India, to help prevent the common traveler's diarrhea that people get there. I was taking it daily.
And I have done that as well, traveling internationally, because let's face it, you get into a different area. You can even travel to different parts of the United States and it can upset your digestive system. It's just the different waters and whatever, the way the food is prepared.
Yes.
So it's a very good idea to do a probiotic if you are traveling. We're with Dr. Victoria Mazes. This is our monthly visit on health with Dr. Mazes. You can join in the conversation 790-2040, 790-2040. We're talking about probiotics, but we would be open to any of your questions if you would like to join in on the conversation. We hope you do. This is the Buckmaster Show for a Wednesday afternoon. Let's hear now from the fine group of sponsors who support what we do here on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 12:21, and this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more. Check their website out, SplendidoTucson.com. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. She's head of the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. We've been talking about probiotics, and I mentioned prebiotics, putting them in the same breath. Do they belong in the same breath,
Dr. Mazes? Well, they do, actually, because prebiotics essentially are nourishment for the bacteria that are in the colon. And so they're usually non-digestible carbohydrates. And actually, the interestingly, from what I told you about the C-section, is that breast milk is actually the quintessential prebiotic.
Really?
It's not digested in the small intestine, but it goes into the large intestine with inulin and lactulose, which are all of these very large chain, non-digestible carbohydrates that help stimulate the production and proliferation of probiotics. So prebiotics are much newer. We don't have as much research, but we know that they enhance immune response, that they have an anti-inflammatory effect. And so they're definitely something to be watching for. And if any one of your listeners has a very difficult condition called C. difficile, it actually helps reduce the recurrence rate of C. difficile.
So when you buy a probiotic, you're not getting a prebiotic.
That's
with
correct.
It.
Okay. They do not come together.
It's not
They're
a
usually
combo
separate.
Deal.
No.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
you would have to take like a prebiotic.
Right.
And who should think about maybe taking? You mentioned that someone had that particular condition, but just generally, if you're taking a probiotic, do you think you need a prebiotic?
Well, you might not necessarily need it, but for example, some of the research shows that prebiotics can enhance the uptake of a vaccination. So that's very interesting. It has this immune-stimulating effect. It stimulates IgA levels, which is one of our immune components. People who have the most common reasons, the Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, that have been researched, I think they might want to think about using some of these.
1224 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. Cholesterol levels continue to drop in this country now. 13%, that seems really low, of U.S. adults have high total cholesterol. Judging by some of the ads that you see on TV, you would think that just about one out of every two people had high cholesterol, but I guess it's really dropped.
Well, I guess that must be because Americans have started following a really healthy diet and are exercising and are doing all of the right things.
What about that pharmaceutical drug that we know so well?
Well, that could be a contributing factor as well. And the class of medicines you're talking about are statins, and they can be very, very effective at lowering cholesterol. And they're certainly indicated for people who have high cholesterol who have had a heart attack. It turns out that the number needed to treat, and we've talked about that concept before, where how many people have to be treated with a medication in order to prevent one bad outcome. Well, for people who have never had a heart attack, who maybe have some high blood pressure, the number needed to treat is really quite high. It's over 200. So it might be better to try some of the more natural things first.
The natural things, fish oil is probably near the top of the list.
Well, fish oil is great at lowering triglycerides, which is one of the lipids in our body. There's the HDL cholesterol, there's the LDL cholesterol, there are triglycerides. And so we know that fish oil, in fact, does reduce triglycerides somewhere between 25 and 40%. It lowers inflammation, and it turns the higher risk LDL, which is the bad cholesterol, into a larger, fluffier, less dense, and that's good because that is protective against heart disease.
You know, we keep hearing, though, about people that have low cholesterol and they still have heart attacks. So, I mean, it's no guarantee having low cholesterol. I mean, I guess it's overall for your health that's good, but it's not necessarily a guarantee you're going to not have heart trouble.
Well, I think that's really an important point to make, is that cholesterol is one of the risk factors for heart disease, but many people who have a heart attack have normal cholesterol. And so we really have to attend not just to the cholesterol, but also what about your blood pressure? What about diabetes or metabolic syndrome, which is a pre-diabetic state? How well are you managing your anger or your hostility, which we know is a factor? How about depression? How are you managing that? Are you doing regular exercise? So there's all these other factors that we believe are really critically important to preventing a heart attack. And sometimes, just sometimes, when people go on the statin, they think, okay, that's it. I've taken care of that, and I don't have to worry about it.
And they eat whatever they want and everything else.
Right.
So it's very interesting that 13% of the public now has high cholesterol. That's low, but heart disease continues to rise because, let's face it, people just, in many cases, are not eating right.
Well, that's, I believe, one of the factors. We have an obesity epidemic in our country, which increases the risk. Many people have high blood pressure, not all of which is controlled. We have growing numbers of people with diabetes, which is a very serious risk factor for heart disease. And so, you know, if we only take a look at numbers like cholesterol, it's going to really underplay the amount of risk for heart disease that's out there.
And I do want to address that caller who did not. We could not get on the air. They really wanted to know what is the difference between a traditional doctor and a doctor specializing in integrative medicine. Perhaps you can explain that very quickly.
Well, sure. So integrative medicine physicians have actually all done conventional medical training. They have gone to 4 years of medical school. They have done a residency. It could be in family medicine or internal medicine or pediatrics, or it could be in surgery or cardiology. And then they go on to do a two-year fellowship in integrative medicine, where they get extensive training in nutrition, in mind-body influences, in looking at spirituality and its influence on health, and also looking at traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, energy therapies, botanicals, vitamins. So they get a very broad education that's not usually included in conventional medical training.
And this is spreading throughout the country. Of course, the University of Arizona has been a leader in this area, but you're getting more and more docs who do specialize in integrative medicine.
That's absolutely right. The University of Arizona has the largest fellowship in the country, in the world, in fact. And one of the things that we do is on our website, which is azcim.org, you can find a practitioner. So we list our graduates, and if people are looking for an integrative medicine physician, that would be one way to find one.
Give the website again, but very slowly this time.
It's azcim.org.
Okay, good. Good for us. Dr. Victoria Mays, it's always a pleasure. We will see you near the end of May. Have safe travels. You're always on the go and very busy, and we do appreciate you spending a half an hour a month with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, coming up now on the half hour on The Buckmaster Show, the Tucson Water Cop is waiting in the wings. Are you seeing water waste anywhere in town? He'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 790-2040. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Marine Corps has decided to discharge a sergeant for criticizing President Obama on Facebook. Sergeant Gary Stein will be given an other-than-honorable discharge. That means he loses all of his benefits. The Fed is boosting its outlook for U.S. economic growth this year, and it's slightly more optimistic about the unemployment rate, reflecting improvements in recent months. He had stayed in the race, hoping to establish himself as the alternative to Mitt Romney, but now Newt Gingrich is ready to step aside and clear the way for Romney's nomination. Gingrich expected to give up his campaign early next week. A New York woman has admitted faking cancer to con donors out of money and services for her wedding and a Caribbean honeymoon. On Wall Street, the Dow's up about 70 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice in Tucson, and KAPR 930 in Douglas. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to the weekend. I want to tell you that, and you probably know this already, but Tucson is off to one of our driest years on record. It seems like we have been saying that like a broken record almost every year. Where are the rains? Well, we've only had about a half an inch of rain for the first 4 months. It's a good time to talk about April being Water Awareness Month. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, joining me in studio, is Tony Almodova, who is known as Tucson's Water Cop. Tony, how are you?
Doing real good today, Bill.
I understand you had a very busy morning. Tell our listeners about I guess it's almost getting to be typical, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Matter of fact, this morning was quite busy. Of course, this is the busiest time of the year with residential and commercial properties getting their lawn started, their coolers going, and just using all kinds of water, especially when the heat comes on.
What did you see this morning?
Well, this morning I was doing a few investigation on commercial properties, and of course, getting from point A to point B, you drive through these neighborhoods, and without fail, you always see one or two residentials that are having problems with.
Where you see water just running into the street?
Absolutely, there. I was going down Country Club this morning, and some guy who was working masonry work, and he just left the hose on.
Oh.
Just left it on, left it running.
He left the hose on thinking, well, he'll get back to it. Maybe he needed the hose at the beginning of the job and just let it go and thinks, well, maybe I'll need it at the end of the job.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it drives people crazy when they see here in the desert just water running. And we do want to invite people. Have you seen that recently? This is a great time to call us and let us know what you're seeing at 790-2040 because Tony would love to hear from you. Go ahead, Tony. You were saying.
Yes. And of course, there was like a couple inches of water in the street and splashing all over the place. And It was crazy.
And these people who turn the fire hydrants on, that is really bad news.
I haven't seen too many of that lately. For a while there, we did have some of those going on, but not lately that I've seen.
People like to go to the restaurants because, a lot of the outdoor restaurants have these misting systems to keep you cool in the summer. What kind of advice do you have for the restaurant owners with these misting systems?
Well, whether they know it or not, it is against the water waste ordinance to have a misting system on when their patios are unoccupied.
Really?
I mean, that carries a $250 fine.
So would that be if no one is seated even in the patio, that system needs to be off?
Absolutely. If it's unoccupied and they're running it, then that is a violation of the water waste ordinance.
And that would carry a fine of, you said, $250?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that. When can you issue a citation and to whom?
Generally, when I see that occurring, I'll sit there for a good 15 minutes because maybe somebody had just left or so, or maybe somebody's working out there. So I make sure that it's unoccupied for a good period of time, and then I'll go give them a warning. Hopefully, I never see it again.
You saw this mason who was just leaving the hose on. What did you do? Would you go up and talk to him?
Actually, I did. I caught his attention. I let him know the ordinance and how he needed to abide by it and ask him why he actually left it on. And, of course, he didn't have no good reason, just an excuse.
What about restaurants generally that hose down property? Or I guess you could be not just a restaurant but any property owner or business that decides to just use the hose to hose everything down.
Absolutely. Commercially, a business cannot use a regular hose to wash their property down on their hard surface, whether it be a sidewalk, a patio, or a drive-through. They have to have it connected to a power washer only.
Because that would... What does the power washer
actually through about? Water conservation, you're only going to use 1/10 the amount of water if it's hooked up to a power washer. So oftentimes you see these people at fast food restaurants trying to get gum off their drive-thru, and they sit there and they use gallons after gallons, and it's going down the street and going into the sewers, storm drains. It's just crazy. It's too much water wasted.
Tony Almodova is with us. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Almodova. He is known as Tucson's water cop. Do you get most of your information just on tips, or you're out cruising around, I guess, too?
Actually, I do get work orders made through people calling into customer service. So I'll get some through there. I'll also see some driving through neighborhoods, and I'll stop and investigate those, as well as landscapers who actually look for water waste for me, and they'll call me on occasion and let me know what's going on out in the community.
When you see water that's just running into the street, if you do slow down and take a closer look, it usually seems to be like an irrigation system that maybe went haywire.
Oftentimes it is. It really is. It all depends on the time of the day. When I see people wasting water in the middle of the day, I not only tell them about water waste through bad irrigation practices as far as watering in the middle of the day, but also if they have a busted system with water running down the street as well.
When should we be watering?
Actually, you should be watering early in the morning, basically a little before the sun comes up, so that everything soaks into your plant and lawn areas before the sun comes up and has a chance to evaporate it. Because once the sun comes up and you're watering, it's going to evaporate almost 80% of your water.
Have some of the businesses changed the way they're landscaping?
Absolutely. They've taken out the high water use plants and are installing native plants, which is good because they're not only looking for water conservation, but also their pocketbooks as well when it comes to cost.
We're talking about water conservation here. What are some of the things that we should be doing? This is April Water Awareness Month, but I guess when you live in the desert, it's something we need to do every month. What are some of the things we should be doing to save water, Tony?
Actually, during the summer months, your majority of the water use is going to be on the outside, whether through irrigation or watering plants. But don't forget on the inside as well. You have the toilets that have bad flappers that need to be checked. You have the tank levels with the water going in the fill tube that just continues to flow in there like throwing money away.
Yeah.
But you also have to check those as well. Check your aerators, check your cooler, swamp coolers, check your water heaters. Check any source of water in your house to make sure everything is running right.
Tony Almodova is with us. He is Tucson's water cop. He works for Tucson Water. What are some of the simple ways to use what's commonly referred to as gray water around the house?
Again, gray water can be used for your plantings. You do have the water that is, instead of going down into your sewer, can be siphoned off into your plants to water your plants.
How about offenders? You said $250 for the first offense. What does that go up to?
It could go up to $2,500 a day.
Have you had cases in that?
We've had cases that went very high, very, very high. We did have a case in which they were facing a $30,000 fine. And, of course, the day before the court, they bargained down to $4,000. But so it can be very costly.
I understand you took the Williams Center complex to court.
Yes, that was when we first came on board, five, 6 years ago. And at that time, water was just flowing off that property.
How is it now?
Oh, it's beautiful. It is so nice. They took out all their annual plants and installed native plants. And within the first 2 years of a reorganization of their landscape, they saved enough money to pay for everything. I mean, they're just doing wonderful out there.
So if people want to get a hold of you, is the best way to go to the Tucson Water website?
Actually, if you see any water waste, I would appreciate you give me a call at 791-2514. And just let me know when you see the water waste, what time you saw it, where it's located at, and maybe a phone number I can contact you to ask any further questions.
Again, that's 791-2514. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Tony would love to hear from you if you see water being wasted here in the desert. Really a shame to do that, and especially as we go into another year where it seems like we've been in this drought, Tony. It seems like going on forever.
It does.
Tony, thank you very much for being with us. Again, that number 791-2514 to report water wasters. Thanks a lot, Tony.
You're welcome.
Coming up now on 1244 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be talking about the Arizona and the Tucson film industry. There may be some help on the way as far as tax breaks, helping Arizona to compete with New Mexico, Utah, and other surrounding states that offer great incentives for filmmakers. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1248 on this Wednesday edition. Well, the push to give tax breaks to companies that produce movies, television shows, and commercials in Arizona has really turned out to be the hot topic, at least right now at the state capitol in this legislative session, kind of the winding down of the session. The bill that squeaked out of the state Senate last week without a vote to spare, it was very close. It now needs a final vote in the House, which could happen this week. It's House Bill 2127, seeks to revive Arizona's motion picture tax credit program, which expired 2 years ago. Eric Schumacher is a local Tucson filmmaker. He's president of the board of directors of the Independent Film Association of Southern Arizona. And Eric is also one of the founders of a new organization called Picture Arizona. Eric, it's good to see you.
Thanks. And by the way, last year I was president of the Independent Film Association. Rosie Zwadek is now the president. She's doing a wonderful job. I stepped down to focus on building our for-profit, locally produced film projects and through Picture Arizona.
And you are now then the former president.
Former president, the emeritus or some fancy title or another.
What do you make of this particular tax credit program? And I was in my research for this. It seems this program is actually a lot stronger than the one that went away 2 years ago. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it's a better written program. It directly incentivizes and could better stimulate the possibility of building an actual soundstage that would be very beneficial to particularly larger filmmakers coming into Arizona, and also incentivize in a different way the hiring of local cast and crew by creating additional incentives for that.
And supporters, as you know, say the program will entice film productions to Arizona. Producer Jerry Brockheimer, who is, I believe, a U of A alum, he wanted to film The Lone Ranger, a movie starring Johnny Depp, in Arizona, and even began construction on a set, but film incentives lured him over to our neighbors in New Mexico, where actually when the Arizona program expired, they said they've got to make a move. And this is not enough necessarily in itself to make a film company come to Arizona. It's just, as it says, an incentive.
Yeah, that's my opinion. My opinion is that, look, film companies aren't going to look at the broad spectrum of all of the 40-some-odd other states that have tax incentive programs and go, Arizona's is better than anybody else's. We're going to come go there and we'll figure out whether or not we want to shoot there later. But if they're considering Arizona, as many huge films have, if we do not have a tax incentive program in place, we're out of the game. And that's been proven over and over again. You may have noticed, if you happen to see the film Cowboys and Aliens, which was a huge release, mm-hmm. that was set in Arizona, not a minute of that was shot in Arizona because we had no tax incentive program.
Yeah, I was going to say that The Lone Ranger currently filming in Monument Valley in the Navajo Nation's Canyon de Chelly, but the bulk of the movie was actually shot at that Albuquerque, the big sound stage that they have down by the airport there in Albuquerque. So the actors and crew are spending their dollars in New Mexico, not Arizona.
That's correct. And the other local businesses that could be vendors to those film projects, restaurants, resorts where people are coming in from out of town, cab services, rental cars, et cetera, could be those millions of dollars could be spent here instead of in other states, which have been forward-thinking enough. And well, at this point, it's not forward-thinking. We're behind. 40. There's about 40 other states. I mean, the point is that if you want the money, you give a tax break, and it's not necessarily a simple tax break either. I mean, there are hoops that you have to jump through to get it. There's a review process built into the bill, and it's not an upfront. It's after the money's been spent, you may qualify for getting a refund basically on your taxes. So, we're not talking about money out of our coffers. We're talking about, do we want tens of millions of dollars to flow through the state that's taxable income and that creates revenue for local businesses of all kinds, or do we not?
It's almost a philosophical reason that, like, Senator Ron Gould, a Republican from Lake Havasu City, is kind of leading the charge against this. He just doesn't like special tax breaks. He says they keep the tax rate high. But generally, it's hard, from my point of view anyway, Eric, it's hard for me to believe that someone would be against this program. I think we have the great climate, we've got the great people, the infrastructure is here to make wonderful movies in Arizona.
We absolutely do, which is precisely why we started Picture Arizona, to make locally produced projects that can be of an – if you go to our website, www.picarizona, spelled out PICARIZONA.com, you'll see some trailers for some absolutely phenomenal films that are in development with us right now that are all locally produced. You know, external filmmakers can take advantage of the resources that we have and also the locations that we have. And that's, you know, the primary reason they're going to come here for the most part externally is to take advantage of the vistas and the views and the ease of producing that is available here in Arizona.
12:54 on the Buckmaster Show. Eric Schumacher is with us. We're talking about filmmaking in Arizona. Let's go to Steve now on the Buckmaster Show live line. A question for Eric. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes, sir, Eric. About 10 or 12 years ago, there was a fellow, Ray Padilla, who was very interested in getting the legislature to revive the film industry in this state. And at that time, they were simply either disinterested or uninterested in his efforts. Is Ray Padilla still involved with you and your organization?
I don't know Ray Padilla personally, and I'm one of many people who's promoting this program. I'm not directly involved with negotiating with the legislature, so I really couldn't tell you. I off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you.
But there are lots of people, your colleagues. We have, I mentioned the infrastructure, just locally. We've got people, talented people, don't we, that do this kind of work?
Absolutely. We've got hundreds of them. And, you know, they would love to they'd love to be put to work regularly and get regular paychecks for what they do best, you have to look at the big picture, the bigger strategy. There's bringing the externals here will have a certain kind of economic impact. Raising locally produced films will have a different kind of economic impact and a longer-term positive economic impact in the area. But these incentive programs are primarily about attracting external film companies here, and I just don't understand why we would even consider turning them down.
Well, I happen to agree with you, but perhaps our next caller will be disagreeing with us, and it is Charles. We go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles, you're with Eric Schumacher.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you coming on Bill's excellent show.
Well, thank you.
I don't have a disagreement. I have a question.
Yeah.
Arizona's home to, I believe, the nation's fourth largest gun maker, Ruger. And there's a lot of other firearms manufacturers that are relocating out of the east because of various both financial climates and political climates.
Mm-hmm.
Why should the film industry be different than, say, for instance, the firearms industry? Why shouldn't we offer the same tax incentive to the firearms industry, and for that matter, for every single business who wants to bring something here and build it and provide jobs? And I'll listen to your answer on the radio.
Thanks. Okay, thank you, Charles.
That's a great question. And personally, if there's a business that's going to create jobs in here and have a positive impact on the area, I would generally be in favor of creating some kind of incentive to get them here. We need job creation here now. The film industry itself is very unusual and very unique in that it's almost a completely green industry. You can make multiple projects in the same place at the same time. You don't have to build, other than a soundstage, you don't really have to build multiple gigantic facilities to create film projects. It's a kind of industry that also, it's a kind of industry that is generally 100% positive in that the land usage is minimal. It also brings a kind of positive publicity that almost no other industry can do, because the film, you know, when you're talking about a gun manufacturer, for example, they sell guns. They're not necessarily saying, come to Arizona and check out the place where we made guns and bring right. lots of tourists in to do that. When you create a film, people will come from all over the world to see where the film was made, to tour the set, to buy the props, to, you know, it creates an after effect that is unbelievably positive and doesn't generally compete with other businesses, and in fact utilizes the resources of hundreds of other businesses, including, I might add, gun manufacturers. We need guns on sets sometimes for as props, and so, you know, I agree with you, but film is particularly an important one to support because of the amazing impact it can have on and every other business in a region.
I know. I'm one of those people, Eric, that loves to wait to the end of the movie to see the credits, because I really like locations and I like to check out where movies are made. And as you know, a lot of them are made in New Mexico. And it's like, well, if it's a Western scene, well, we'll go to New Mexico because they do have a very competitive program. So we'll have to see how this all plays out, and we'll have you back.
Looking forward to it, Bill, anytime.
Again, your website for Picture Arizona.
Thank you so much.
Please give me that again.
Oh, it's www.picarizona.com. That's PICARIZONA.com. And please do contact all of the House members you can and ask them to support HB2127. If you need a list of those people, feel free to contact me at eric@picarizona.com and I will forward a list to you.
Thank you, Eric. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That'll do it for the Wednesday edition of Buckmaster. We do it all over again tomorrow on Thursday. See you. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.